Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
So hello and welcome to Parkcast. I'm Bex, and also joining me on this is Alex Crump, who, if you are an enthusiast or you're into your theme park videos, you will have seen crop up, I'm pretty sure, from time to time.
Hopefully just a few times, not too many. I don't want to be known as a reputation, definitely not.
Can't really miss you, Alex. You're about 8 foot tall.
I'm 6 foot six, not quite. I think you'd definitely notice me if I was 8 foot. I think everyone in the world would.
It's amazing that you actually get on some of these rides.
Or this chair where I'm sat right now, actually.
Well,
I'm very surprised.
That's
just
good.
About.
But this is, Parkcast. It's the UK's first theme park podcast. It's going to be dedicated to all things theme parks, rides, amusement parks, everything that's going on in the industry, not only in the UK, but also worldwide as well. Hopefully bringing you lots of information, interesting things, if you're into your parks, if you are an enthusiast, or if you just enjoy going to them and you've just got a bit of a vested interest, you want to find out a bit more about what goes on behind the scenes and new things which are coming our way this year and beyond. That's what we're aiming to do.
I can't wait. I'm very excited. I feel like we're going to cast some very interesting opinions and eyes over the world of theme parks and attractions across the world, because there's so much to talk about.
That's the thing, there's things going on all the time. It's really hard to keep track of, but luckily that's your job, not mine.
I know. I'm supposedly the guru in this one. I'll try and cast a bit of an expert
opinion.
I'll
just
ask
you all the questions.
And if I don't know the answers, I'm going to look even worse, aren't I?
So just how this is going to run, we're going to release one of these every month and bring you some news updates on it, have a bit of a focus on different things to the year as well. I think we've got quite a few things planned for the rest of the year, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. So we are going to do a Disney Parks special, talking about all the Disney Parks and attractions worldwide.
And you've been to all of them, haven't you?
I have, yeah. There's 12 different parks across six resorts.
There can't be that many people in the world who've gone to every single one.
I don't think there's many, no. I think there's only a handful that I know of personally. I'm sure there might be a few more, but it's quite exciting to talk about. I'm quite looking forward to that episode.
We can give you the title guru for that one, definitely.
Yeah, I'm hoping Disney there's not going to be a BuzzFeed quiz on Disney, though, because that's where I'm probably going to mess up. I'm not too good with those. Later in the year, we can talk a little bit more about what we can expect towards Halloween, Christmas, and the close season blues as well. I know a lot of people who go to theme parks quite a lot really struggle for things to do, certainly in January. January always seems to be an off month for me.
Where's open?
Hibernation mood. Hibernation mood and mode, isn't it? It's trying to find time for things that aren't theme park related for me, but certainly for most people, leisure in general seems to be a bit of a struggle. So, you know, we're going to try and look at the year as the calendar year moves on. So we're going to be quite clever, hopefully, about that.
So hopefully, lots of information for you, lots of news, lots of exciting things and exclusive things, exclusive interviews as well. And we'll be able to bring you that every month, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. And obviously, you'll be able to get in touch with us and let us know if there's anything you want us to cover or anything you want to share with us as well. So our first monthly feature that we're going to bring you is Highs and Lows.
Highs and Lows.
So this is news from around the theme park industry, things that are going on, stuff that you need to know, stuff you need to be kept up to date with. Alex, what have we got?
So the first thing to mention, that in 2019, it's actually 25 years since the UK's, I would say arguably, the UK's three biggest and most impressive roller coasters all opened. So let's start by talking about the one that I think Becca and I probably enjoy the most. It is Nemesis at Alton Towers.
An absolute
classic.
25
years old. I mean, I'm 22, so I wasn't even there for the spawning of the beast.
Okay, well, that's just made me feel old straight
Sorry
away,
about that, Becca.
Because I do
Sorry.
Remember it opening.
I'm glad she's over the other side of the desk now. I've said that. But yeah, 25 years of Nemesis at Alton Towers, the big one at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, formerly known as the Pepsi Max big one, and of course Shockwave at Drayton Manor. 25 years.
It was called the year of the roller coaster, wasn't it?
It was. And we were close to it last year, actually, in 2018. We'll come on to that in a little bit. But 1994 was the last time I would argue that three major roller coasters were all opened together in the United Kingdom. And wow, what a year that would have been. I mean, I wasn't there, so I'm going to leave Becca to this one life was like back then.
I mean, I can barely remember. I was so young. No, it's not true. I was over 1.4 metres at the time.
There we
so
go.
I
did, there's no excuses. No excuses.
Yeah, so obviously starting with Nemesis, still a ride that gets hugely rated amongst enthusiasts and the general public.
I don't think there's anybody who doesn't enjoy Nemesis. I'm yet to find people, even if, you know, it's too intense for some people. A lot of people know it as the Nemesis as well, which I really like. when you're an enthusiast and you go to theme parks quite a lot and you hear people refer to it as the Oblivion, the Nemesis, and then for the Smiler, they just call it Smiler. It's like... Okay, all right, we'll try and work on that one. But generally, it's such a classic roller coaster. It's got so much, you know, history to it about how it was built. If you really do read into it, it's actually really interesting. There's a lot of documentaries about Nemesis online.
You can get a lot on YouTube about it, 100%,
can't you? Yeah, it's really worth checking out. And John Wardley, who we will talk about a little bit later on throughout other episodes of the podcast, the guy who actually designed Nemesis at Alton Towers, he's got a really interesting backstory. And they created a themed roller coaster like no other. And 25 years later, it's still impressive. People, yeah, and still going like a dream, I think, to be honest. A great coaster.
It got repainted, was it last year?
Last couple of years, I think it's kind of had a lot of work done.
Refurbishment. Looks decent,
it does. It looks like it's got a life to it still, which is really, really important.
When's the Blood River coming back?
I don't know if it will. Do you know what? I really don't think it will. I mean, obviously, there's a bit of a thing about, you know, dying waters and natural rivers and things.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a bit of a controversial one, really, but I think it's a classic thing that people will always remember of Nemesis. One thing I know will never come to an end is the legacy and the love that the people of, you know, the United Kingdom and the rest of the world, of course,
have
for Nemesis.
People come from all over the world to ride it, don't they?
I met some guys in Germany a couple of years ago who actually told me that they've been on over 1,200 roller coasters each, and their number one is still Nemesis.
Wow.
How amazing is that?
It's because it's so iconic. We are lucky to have it on our doorstep.
Yeah, for me, it's like 20 minutes away. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very special. A very special coaster, but of course, not ignoring the other two big roller coasters that opened that year. The biggest one of all, I would say, certainly still the UK's tallest. Might not be Europe's tallest, fastest and steepest roller coaster anymore, but it's still the United Kingdom's tallest. And that, of course, is the big one, or again, as it was formerly known, the Pepsi Max.
A lot of people still call it the Pepsi Max.
People know it as the Pepsi Max, but it is now just the big one. That's it, or big one, as some people refer to.
It's still got the cans, the Pepsi Max cans.
Yeah, the cans are still there, and they've been refreshed as well recently, which is really good. They've put a new, like, vinyl around them.
Is it still being sponsored by Pepsi Max?
I don't really know. I'm not too sure, to be honest.
It's weird, isn't it?
Answers on a postcard to anyone who's listening, or who might work for Pepsi Max, but it's such a great coaster. And
what is your thoughts? Because within the enthusiast community, there is very much a school of thought that it's not a great ride.
I think the thing is, to me, it's not an intense roller coaster in my eyes. It's something that's very, very special to Blackpool Pleasure Beach. And I'm going to use the word iconic again, even though I feel like I'm traitoring the new roller coaster that opened there last year. But the thing is with the big one, when you're driving in on the M55 on the way to Blackpool, which is the motorway you take to get up there from wherever you travel from, just to see that roller coaster on the seafront from a distance and getting closer and realising the scale of that coaster, it's insane. And to see it, it's so, so special. It really does signify Pleasure Beach's exterior to me and like the shape of the park.
You can't imagine it without it being there now.
No, you can't. No, I couldn't actually imagine a modern day Blackpool Pleasure Beach without that ride. It's so, so special. And, you know, love or hate the ride. Me personally, I'm not a massive fan. I tend to make jokes calling it the big monorail because it's a bit like a monorail. It does run slow sometimes.
Especially when it's windy. Am I going to make it up this second hill?
I know, yeah, you wonder, don't you? Because if some people go in the wind and the rain and, you know, you come off and you're absolutely drenched because it's been pouring down with rain. But there's still people who are here in the queue line that are really nervous to get on the ride because of its height. You know, if you are scared of heights, it certainly is not something you want to just consider straight away, especially if you're not a fan of roller coasters either. But ultimately, it's a classic coaster and it's something to really celebrate. 25 years, it still looks good. It's still very reliable. You know, the weather can be a bit of an issue sometimes, but that's what you get for building a theme park at the seacoast.
And in terms of that, Blackpool celebrating that, I know they've released some new merchandise this year in general. So they've done a footprint of the big one, haven't they?
They have, yeah. And I do believe, because I mean, the anniversary isn't officially till May. So there's still time to see what the park might do to celebrate that. But I do believe that Pleasure Beach should be really, really proud of the history of their rides. I mean, there's some really, really old ride hardware in that park, you know, and to have a coaster like the big one standing there 25 years, actually, it's still a pretty new ride in comparison to a lot of the things that are in that park. You know, it's special and it signifies Blackpool Pleasure Beach as a whole to me. I couldn't imagine, as you said, Becca, the park without that coaster being there.
Yeah. And obviously the third coaster from the year of the roller coaster.
I feel like I've ranked them in particular order. I really haven't. That's just what I've been reading off the paper. But Shockwave at Drayton Manor. Wow, 25 years that coaster has quite literally stood at that park for.
I don't think anyone would have thought it would still be there 25 years later.
Neither did I, to be honest.
I think some of us are still surprised it is still there.
It's still there. I mean, it's changed a lot over the years. Shockwave, of course, is, I believe it's still Europe's only stand-up roller coaster. Mm. It's not in the world. There are, I think, three others in the world.
It's never become a really popular
It's never been a trend that's taken off. And I do believe that a lot of the stand-up roller coasters that are still in existence in the world are actually being changed to sit-down variations of their own ride. So they're completely replacing the trains with sit-down elements. Maybe that might happen to Shockwave. But for those who have been on Shockwave, any time since it opened, I still feel like it's quite an intense ride. It's still a good, fun coaster.
It's a different experience, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's really unique. And the force that you feel going through the big loop, the loop, as people would know it.
What's the correct term?
I'd argue it's a vertical loop, but there are people who argue it's a vertical zero-G loop.
Oh, come on.
So I'm like, okay.
That's too
much. The enthusiasts are all going to flip the tables now in front of me, but I will just go that it's a vertical loop, as it's known. A loop the loop, as people tend to know it, but... Again, a special roller coaster signifies Drayton Manor. Again, I couldn't imagine the park without it. I think that's something to really take note of all three of these rides.
Well, Drayton Manor really needs that ride at the moment, doesn't it? Because it's lost its other coaster.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's kind of...
I wouldn't call it a big loss losing G-Force. No. it wasn't particularly an enjoyable roller coaster, not for anyone. It's still a loss. And, you know, it was one of the two major roller coasters in that park. We're back to Shockwave, and that's it. You know, I hope Drayton Manor can fulfil something with that. And it'd be really nice as well to mention on the side that I'd love to see Shockwave having some kind of celebration for its 25th anniversary. Again, a pin badge, a mug, a T-shirt, or an event. You know, that's something that I'm surprised the parks haven't done.
Well, when it was 21, we did an event that I was actually part of, and I rode Shockwave 21 times in a row.
Wow, that was dedication. I feel like
I feel like I'm still bruised from it.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, if you're a male and you've ridden Shockwave 21 times, you tend to know more about it than the females do. And I'm sure you can all get what I'm referring to on that if you've been on it. But it's a great ride. It's a really great ride. It's special to Drayton Manor. And I do really love Drayton Manor. I've grown up there, had a lot of happy memories. And I just couldn't imagine any of the three parks without those roller coasters in. I think, you know, Alton Towers is signified by its nemesis. Blackpool Pleasure Beach with the big one, and Shockwave at Drayton Manor. They're all just well-known coasters, and I dread to think which one, I hate to say it, Becca, it's coming, which one would go first?
No.
Which one would it be? I know. I feel like they've all got a bit of life left in them yet.
Definitely.
There's nothing's changed too soon.
Are they going to make another 25 years?
Maybe so. Let's hope. That'd be great. 50
Imagine
years.
If we're still doing this podcast in 25 years.
I tell you what, I hope I still remember as much as I do then as I do now. Fingers crossed anyway. My memory might not be as good.
So that was that. So that's the three roller coasters celebrating 25 years in this country. What else has been going on?
Well, it's really quite important to talk about as well that I recently went to Chessington World of Adventures and got to experience Room on the Broom and Magical Journey, which is their new for 2019 walkthrough experience. If you're familiar with Chessington World of Adventures, it's a very family-friendly theme park. And the ride, well, the attraction in which I'm discussing is a replacement and a re-theme to the formal Hocus Pocus Hall attraction, which had been at the park for quite a while. I think it had seen best part of nearly 20 years. It'd been there, it's seen quite a bit of time at the park. It wasn't necessarily a popular attraction, so I guess it was the right decision to remove it. Room on the Broom is actually an IP by Julia Donaldson, who is a famous author who's most known for creating the Gruffalo, which, of course, is another attraction at Chessington. And to be honest, I really didn't know what to expect when I went to experience it. I actually went for the annual pass days at Chessington, and they had actually opened the attraction early just to kind of get people in to kind of learn. They do these soft openings at theme parks just to kind of develop what it's like to manage a queue before it officially opens. So they have a bit of rehearsal in preparation for the new ride. And I went into Room on the Broom. I really didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I just wanted to give a bit of a brief summary. It's still very similar in terms of Hocus Pocus Hall's layout. It hasn't actually changed route as such in any particular way. It's very low down, it's very family friendly, it's very much for the children. For me, it was a little bit hard to immerse myself because there were some sections of the experience which had a bit of a blank canvas, maybe just a painted black wall, or, you know, just no light, so you don't focus on that part of the room. And I feel like with improvements, it would look incredible. But for what it is, actually, it is a pretty good attraction. And if you're familiar with the story of Room on the Broom, or even if you're not, you can enter the attraction and still enjoy it because it's explained to you very clearly at the beginning. I think it needs a few little tweaks, but actually for families, which, again, it's aimed at, it's actually a very nice attraction. And I recommend you all go down to Chessington World of Adventures and try it out, new for 2019. And actually, I would go to argue that Chessington have one of the most audience-focused visions for the future of their park than any other theme parks in this country.
They're because definitely they're, going for that clear. Young family market.
Yeah, it's clear, and they don't make alterations and changes. And again, that'll be something we'll discuss later in the year about other parks and what their focus and visions are from an outsider's perspective. But it's really, really good to see that they are investing in that family market. and keeping visitors coming back. I really enjoyed Room on the Broom, and I've really enjoyed a lot of the future the previous developments that Chessington have put in, and I'm sure there's many more good ones to come.
Anything else going on in the world?
Yeah, in the world. Let's spin it over to the United States and explain to you about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
I've heard so much about this.
I can feel all the Star Wars fans just starting to sing the main titles to me through their headphones. But yeah, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is going to be a brand new immersive theme park land coming to both Walt Disney World Resort in Disney's Hollywood Studios and into Disneyland Park at Disneyland in Anaheim, California, and obviously that being the original park. They're actually opening on two separate dates. The California version is opening on the 31st of May, so actually not that long to go, really. You know, just over a month's time, that ride will be open. That whole area will be open, shall we say. Or so we think, and I'll come to that point in just a moment. And then the Walt Disney World, Disney's Hollywood Studios variation of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will open on the 29th of August 2019. Now, I mean, I'm not a big Star Wars fan. Never have been, never grown up with it, never really sat and watched the films all the way through. I get the idea, I get the concept, and I know that it's so, so popular worldwide. I think Disney have made a good decision investing in Star Wars into their theme parks.
Yeah.
Disneyland, I mean, I went to that park in 2016 for the first time. Absolutely beautiful, amazing, really immersive, family-friendly, really, you know, engaging. But they're actually building Star Wars Galaxy's Edge just into the top left corner of the theme park, if you know it well at all. You'll understand that the Disney parks all tend to be quite central with all the different lands around the edges with the home base in the middle. But Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is kind of just being packed into the main park there.
Right.
And it, again, as a non-Star Wars lover, I'm really finding it hard to understand why that decision was made, because it just feels like Disney are taking away from the originality of their themed lands. You've got Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, Frontierland, Adventureland, and then
they're
you're going to
like
have Star.
Quite traditional, yeah, they are. And like they're theme known. Park lands, aren't they?
Yeah, and the things that you'd expect to see in other theme parks as well. You know, your Wild West, your Future, yeah, your Princess and Fairy Tales, and then Star Wars. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Is this, do you think, in part due to the success of the Harry Potter world?
I'm guessing that Harry Potter's had a big part to play in, you know, why we're getting Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at the Disney parks. It has done very, very well, bringing an IP into, to be fair, not very IP-based parks. But, I mean, I feel that Walt Disney World, where they're opening it in Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is the third park to be built there, is a bit more acceptable because it's a movie-style park.
Yeah.
And they have already got Star Tours located in that area of the park, sort of thing. So it's going to hopefully quite nicely integrate, and they're going to have a Star Wars hotel open in there, which is going to be really, really cool to hear more about later this year. I think generally, I suppose it's hard as a non-Star Wars fan to really enjoy what's being built. But to be honest with you, even if it was an IP that I fully believed in, intellectual property is what we're talking about when we refer to IPs.
Yeah, basically a known brand.
A brand, you know, like you buy your supermarket product, same sort of thing. It's just the brands in which the films and TV programs are produced into the parks. I just feel that maybe it's not the step in the right direction for Disney, even though I do feel like it's still going to be one of the most visually impressive, if not the most visually impressive thing I've ever seen in a theme park. I mean, there's talk about there being 600 different experiences you could have whilst in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And if you're going to be staying inside the Star Wars hotel, you're actually going to get to experience over 1,000 different possibilities. You'll be given a character, you'll be given a mission, and you have to go into the park and solve those riddles and really immerse
really
yourself.
Tailored, then.
Yeah, and I've also found out there's a bar opening in the parks as well. I only found this out this week.
Oh, that is good news.
It's good news for Becca, but I have to make a note as well and say that in Disneyland, this will actually be the first time in the near 70-year history of Disneyland that a bar has opened that serves alcohol in the main park.
Really?
They have purposely, that was part of Walt's vision, not to serve any alcoholic beverages inside the main park. So Disney are stepping away from Walt's vision there again.
Ooh.
And it's going to have its own bar in. But I did find out, which does make up for it, they're actually going to have milk available in the restaurant. And the milk is blue. How great is that?
I don't think I fancy that.
Blue milk. That's genius.
I'll leave
you to that one. Amazing. Absolutely wonderful. So yeah, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, May 31st in California, August the 29th in Walt Disney World. I'm sure if you're going to Walt Disney World anytime soon, you'll probably see the construction.
Yeah.
And if not, get ready for some long queues.
You'd be gutted if you were there just before, wouldn't you?
You would be. And also, I think you'd be gutted as soon as it opens, because they're actually opening the area in phases.
Right.
There's two major attractions going into each park. When they both first open, they'll be opening one of the two major attractions. I suppose it's to phase it in easily. But is that a good idea? Partially opening a land? I don't know. We're going to find out very soon, though, for sure, from from Disney. And the final couple of bits to worth mentioning, one really quick one is that Europa Park in Germany, after last year, the 26th of May last year, the Scandinavia area of their theme park actually suffered a tremendous fire.
It was big, that was in the news.
It was crazy. I was at Blackpool Pleasure Beach the day it happened as well. And I remember people were running up to me saying, "Have you seen what's happening at Europa Park?" And had no idea. It actually managed to destroy the fire. The Pirates in Batavia, Dark Ride, which is similar to the Pirates of the Caribbean style attractions at the Disney parks. It was Europa Park's own twist on that. And it actually destroyed, I'd say, maybe three quarters of the whole Scandinavia area, which is quite a lot of destruction.
Yeah. The thing is, with Europa Park, they do some great theming.
They do. And it's a shame to lose so much history in that park as well, because those rides have been there for a very, very long time. But Europa Park being the most efficient, and certainly German engineering at its finest, have actually announced recently that the end of May this year, so again, a month and a half to go, the whole area of Scandinavia is going to be reopening.
Wow, they
completely
have cracked
rebuilt.
On
they have not messed about.
That would not happen here.
Within 24 hours, they had vinyl boards up with theming on all the way around the area where the fire had damaged, so it did not ruin the immersion of that park. They are on it.
And that's amazing, isn't it?
It's great to know that they're reinvesting in that area, and the Pirates in Batavia ride will be refreshed and reimagined with new eyes, new modern technology. And I'm quite excited. I think it'd be worth going out to see when that's done, actually. I think that'd be a worthwhile visit just to see the reimagining of a classic attraction. At least we're not losing it, you know, we are refreshing
something. Yeah, they could have just thought, well, we'll replace it with something a lot cheaper.
We'll put like a Zamperla disco in and just scare everybody away. And then finally, just a quick one again, mentioning Disneyland Paris and Walt Disney Studios are closing. Armageddon, it's a lot of closures actually, it's quite surprising. Armageddon, which is a, let's say, special effects experience. I'm not a particular fan of that one. If you're a fan of theme park worldwide, you'll know what I'm talking about. If that's closing on March 31st in Walt Disney Studios, then Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, great classic wooden roller coaster. I was going to say then, I was going to say rock and roll inspired roller coaster. That was a mouthful. Is going to be closing on the 2nd of September this year to make way for the new developments in Walt Disney Studios, a €2 billion expansion to build Marvel Land, Star Wars Land, and some Frozen attractions into that park.
So again, Star Wars coming over to France.
Wars coming to France, yeah. Interesting. I'd love to see a French Darth Vader. I'm certainly intrigued to see what he might sound like.
He'd be less threatening.
Definitely, I hope so. And maybe less terrifying than my impression just then as well.
So have they given any sort of opening date plans for that expansion?
There's nothing officially confirmed yet, but they plan to have phase one open by the end of 2021. So actually, even though the rides are closing this year, there's not actually much time really to transition those rides over to the new experiences. I do believe that Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America are all going to have big parts to play in this area. And the three Disney parks that are focusing on Marvel and Star Wars, which are Disneyland in California, Walt Disney World, and Disneyland Paris itself, are all going to integrate their Star Wars and Marvel areas to be interactive with one another, which I think is a really cool idea to kind of bring that IP across the globe. And I'm excited to see what Disney do with it. Disney are yet to disappoint me with any major new investments, so let's see if that's possible with all the work going on. Disney's budget must be really high for construction right now.
There's a lot of money going on.
There's got to be somewhere. The mouse is making Disney a lot more money than we realise, definitely.
So that's it. That's our monthly news round. I'm going to put that one as a low, that end one, just because it's something.
Yeah, it's a bit
of
a low.
We've got a year or so without anything replaced. It's a shame to lose Rock and Roller Coaster.
I think it's going to be a shame for the park generally, because the park hasn't really got a lot to support its crowd weight. I mean, Ratatouille opened most recently. You've kind of got Tower of Terror. But besides that, you're struggling for really high intense attractions for people to enjoy. So to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't want to visit Walt Disney Studios for a little while till that work's complete. And with only phase one being open in 2021, I believe there's another 4 years worth of work to be gone on after that. So it's going to be a while before we're running around that park, you know, actually enjoying it. Save your pennies, go to Florida, or go to Tokyo. Why not? Something different. Splash out a bit of extra cash.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.
So every episode of Parkcast is going to have a bit of a focus, something that we really look into on a bit more detail. And this month, it seems fitting, the first one. The season is just beginning for most of the UK parks, taking a look at what we can expect in the UK parks this year, really, for 2019.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite an interesting year for the UK as a whole, not just in the theme park division, certainly. I know politics is having a big part to play on the rest of the world at the moment in the United Kingdom, but it's worth mentioning that, you know, there is still a lot to enjoy in the UK this year.
Quieter than last year, though.
Yeah, definitely. The hype's down a little bit after Icon and Wicker Man opened at Blackpool Pleasure Beach and Alton Towers. But there are still things to look forward to. I believe that we're going to have quite a nice summer again this year.
Crossing my fingers right now.
I know, we're
now.
Really hoping so. Maybe we might take the podcast outside then at that point. That'd be a really good time. That'd be great,
podcast
wouldn't it?
Podcast al fresco.
How
I'm
nice would that be?
Definitely down for that.
And yeah, the parks this year, I'm really, really confident are going to do all they can just to kind of fill, after the hype especially of what happened last year with those two new roller coasters at the two parks. It's really worth mentioning that opening hours haven't really differed too much. The only real changes to the theme park calendars this year to last year are A, that Blackpool Pleasure Beach have actually announced that they're going to be closing some off-peak Mondays and Tuesdays towards the start of the main season. So definitely check those dates out if you're planning to visit the Pleasure Beach midweek.
Yeah, don't go up there and find it's closed.
Yeah, it's a long way to go otherwise, isn't it? You know, you've got a lot to look forward to if you go on an open day, for sure. But that's really worth mentioning, that Blackpool Pleasure Beach are now joining the trends.
Do you think that's just because it's just quiet on
I think
those
it's just
days.
So quiet, and I get it's
Shame
really
for us,
hard.
Though. It's when we try
us.
And go.
That's our perfect days. Like, I finish work sometimes and I go straight up to Alton Towers in the afternoon to finish my day. So, you know, it is going to be a shame, but actually I can understand the logic. If people aren't going to the parks, what's the point in being open? You know, it's costing more money to open than to, you know, than to just close. So that's worth mentioning. And also this year, later on down the line, which again, of course, we'll cover Halloween later on, Thorpe Park have announced that Fright Nights is going to run over 28 nights this year across the Halloween season.
Pretty much.
That's pretty, yeah, and spread out as well from September into October. 28 whole days of Fright Nights. And the park's open for 12 hours on each of those days. It's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
You were disappointed in Fright Nights last year.
I was a little bit, yeah. I mean, for me, it just felt that the event really hadn't had the support of the hype that they were building, that they were going to have a lot of new attractions and a lot of change. It just felt very temporary. I'm a person who really enjoys solid infrastructure in attractions where I can fully be immersed and not just taken into a quick re-theme of something that they've got last minute. But having 28 nights of Fright Nights tells me that they're going to certainly be pumping more money into Fright Nights this year. It'll still be worth going till it's still a worthwhile event. And of course, the roller coaster open in the dark. Got to go and swarm in the dark.
That's the reason to go to any park in September, October, isn't it? Or when they do a late night opening.
I agree completely. And actually, you know, getting on the swarm at sunset is one of my favourite things to do, riding Stealth, Saw,
It's a completely different
Nemesis
experience,
Inferno.
Isn't it? If you've ridden a roller coaster in the daytime and then you ride it at night, even on the same day, it just rides differently.
Yeah, it does. And you know that it's been there for 12 hours. You've had a lovely day in the scorching hot sunshine. I'm looking at my arms right now, thinking about the tan I know I'm already going to get. And then you get there to 9:30, close to 10 o'clock in the evening, you're still riding roller coasters. You know, for us, we've got a 3-hour drive home, but we're not bothered anyway because we're riding roller coasters, we're having a really good time. And actually, as much as the late night openings are a great idea at the park, I do think they're wise by doing them later towards the end of the year. I know that summer hasn't been too kind to the parks last year for the late openings. As much as the weather was on their side, the attendance numbers just didn't show for the nice weather, which is a shame. A lot of people seem to leave before 6 o'clock. So it's great for those who want to get on some last minute rides, but it's really worth noting that if you are going on a day when a park has a late closure, stick around, guys. Stay, because the parks do empty out. People, you know, people go on school trips, group gatherings, conference events, and they all go home. The rides at Thorpe Park especially, you can be waiting 5-10 minutes for some of your favourite roller coasters, you know, and go round and round and round as many times as you want. It's so worth doing. So in terms of the theme park calendar this year, they're things to really be aware of. And also, Blackpool Pleasure Beach have announced that they will be doing 8 late night riding nights and fireworks for the 2019 season.
That
great
is a
event.
Highlight.
It's great. I love it. And the thing is, the fireworks aren't anything of Disney standard. I know we'll always talk about Disney in comparison, but, you know, they do just put a very nice fireworks display on to end the park day. But the rides, again, open for 12 hours, 10 till 10. You get it with your normal admission price. You know, buy a wristband online. Currently, you can buy wristbands for the rest of the season for £22.50. I think that's a bargain deal, to be honest with you. For a full day out, unlimited riding, especially if you go on a late night riding date. The dates have all been announced. The first one is coming up, I believe, the 20th of April. Yeah, definitely worth going to a late night riding event. Getting on Icon. I mean, some of the rides there shut at 9 to clear for the fireworks.
Even so.
But the atmosphere's there. There's music pumping out through the park all day. There's entertainment. And yeah, it's a great atmosphere. So again, really, really pushing those late night closures at the parks this year.
The thing that a lot of people don't realise as well, if you've not been to Blackpool maybe since you were a kid or you haven't been for many years, actually as a park, you don't often get huge queues because there's so many attractions within it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That everyone gets spread out quite well.
And I feel like Pleasure Beach is one of those parks where, even if you don't like riding roller coasters, you pay £6 just to get a walk-on ticket and you can just walk around, you can go on the train, go in the Chinese puzzle maze and just make the most of the atmosphere around the park.
Yeah, it's useful if you going with your partner and you're not into coasters and they are, or vice versa.
You're not paying for someone to.
Yeah,
exactly. Alton Towers, it's a full admission ticket price, no matter who you are and what you're riding. You know, it's really good that Blackpool Pleasure Beach have that service just so you can explore the park, just be out in the sunshine, grab some fish and chips, and just really enjoy the atmosphere.
Oh, I want to go now.
I know. Let's go right now. Even though it's not open, let's go. But yeah, it's a great time to go to the parks, late night riding. I will really recommend it. Also along the subject of different UK parks and attractions that we have for this year, again, Alton Towers, Chessington, Thorpe Park and Legoland all do have select day closures, some Mondays, some Tuesdays, some Wednesdays throughout the season. That also includes Drayton Manor on that one in September.
So just worth checking the website.
Always check the website. Even if you think you know, just check, because the last thing you want is to be disappointed when you arrive at the park and find out you can't go and ride some of your favourite rides and attractions. I thought it'd be really, really useful to mention as well that I've noticed that some of the Merlin parks in the United Kingdom have also had a bit of a refresh of some of their food outlets for this year.
You've got me at food.
Oh, yeah, the word food beckons hook straight away. We're on it. Right, okay, let's keep this one
rolling. Tell me about the donuts.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a moment. We'll come to donuts. I'll tell you some really good donut deals in the parks. It's really worth knowing about. So first thing to mention, Merlin have actually changed their fried chicken company restaurants, and it's now called Just Chicken. Even though it does serve other foods.
What was it before?
It was Fried Chicken Co.
Fried Chicken Co.
But it was the Fried Chicken Company officially.
Right. Is it the same?
It's pretty much the same. There's a few little changes to the menu. You can get a few little other nice bits. Food prices in the parks, looking at the websites for this year, do look like they've taken a little bit of an increase. Some meals have taken anything up to £2 of an increase this year. Ooh. I guess it's a tough time. You know, we've got to be considerate that everything in the world is going to get more expensive with time. It's rare when things come down in price. We know to expect it. But again, it's really worth mentioning, if you've got an annual pass to any of the parks, most parks tend to offer you 10 to 20% off discount on your food items or your drinks.
Definitely worth
really look into that. Yeah, and again, the Merlin pass is something we'll talk about later in the year, but it's still one of the most valuable annual passes, because you can go to any of the Merlin parks and attractions, you get your 20% off merchandise, food and drink, retail. What more can you ask for? It's great. And donuts. You get 20% off your donuts in the Merlin theme park.
There's reason enough. The amount of donuts I go through.
I feel like I just stand at the end of the machine, so when they tip over the cliff, I'm just there ready to catch them in my mouth. It's great. Absolutely love
and
it.
And you can do... They're doing monthly direct debits, aren't they, for the...
They are indeed, yeah. So you pay a set monthly price, guaranteed price for up to, I believe, 8 months. So you know you're going to be paying that same amount for 8 months of the year. And it's a monthly direct debit that comes out and gives you a Merlin annual pass. Me personally, I probably wouldn't go down the direct debit route, purely because prices on direct debits can change any time. It might be affordable for yourself now, but 2 years down the line might not be. So me personally, I like to get the cost out of the way at the start of the year or the end of the year, depending when it falls, and I'm ready to go for the next season. Also worth noting that Blackpool Pleasure Beach, this is probably one of the worst times to buy a season pass for Pleasure Beach. It's actually going to come in at £189.50 for a season pass for the year.
That seems a lot.
It is very much a lot of money, considering I paid £90 for my season pass last October. A really good time for Pleasure Beach to buy your passes anywhere between the start of August and the end of November. At Blackpool Pleasure Beach, they just do some sales on for the next season. Get it in nice and early. You'll get an email about when the registration dates are, and if you can't make it, you can just pick it up on the day. But it's really good, really great atmosphere, and free Funshine biscuits, free little shortbread biscuits.
Again,
when you go to a registration day, the word free and food don't come into parks very often, so you take it for granted when you get it.
I do love those biscuits as well.
Oh, they're the best.
You get them if you stay in the hotel.
You do. And if you ask the reception, you get more. Just complain that there weren't any there. Don't do that, actually. That's a bad idea. I'm not encouraging that. But yeah, it's going to be a great 2019 season.
So less openings, no new coasters in the UK this year.
No, nothing new at all. I mean, I guess it's difficult because Oakwood Theme Park in Wales are advertising that they're new for 2019. Coaster, in inverted commas, is a Zamperla Disco.
Oh no.
Now, as an enthusiast, I will argue that it is not a roller coaster, but if the park insists, then I can't argue.
Okay, what makes you say that's not a coaster?
For me personally, a roller coaster is something that is powered on momentum around a track or a course circuit. A little bit like a Scale Electrics car. You get a power to it, you send it round. That is a roller coaster to me.
And explain what a Zamperla Disco is.
A Zamperla Disco. So the best way of explaining it, sometimes you've seen them rock and tug boats at a fairground. It's where you sit on a circular disc and it's in a bit of a U-shaped piece of track, and the circular disc will spin and rock side to side like a pirate ship, and it can be quite nauseating actually, depending on the size or scale of it, but they're good fun. It's still a new ride.
Where's that going in Oakwood?
I don't actually know. I've not been told. I'm probably going to go somewhere near the Roald Dahl area of the park, I would have thought.
Okay.
Keeping in with that modern feel, but I could be wrong about that. Alongside the same subject of new things for 2019, The Alton Towers dungeon.
Yes.
Ooh, I feel like we're in a more serious tone when we mention the dungeons. It's nice to be talking about a new dungeon to the United Kingdom. It is an upcharge attraction, folks. Please let me warn you of this from the offset. You can't blame me for not telling you that it is a £5 upgrade if you were to buy your ticket online. Really, really worth mentioning that, folks. It is going to be inside the main theme park, so you can add it to your day as part of the time you're there. If you haven't done a dungeon before, how do we explain it, Becca? What do we do? How do we summarise it?
I'm not a big fan of anything scary. To the extent, even a ghost train on a travelling fairground is a bit intense for me.
It's a bit too much. So
go in it, but I probably won't enjoy it.
No, you'll tolerate it for the time you're there. That's the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dungeons are a walkthrough attraction.
And this is where Charlie and the Chocolate Factory
was. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Toyland tours around the world in 80 days, depending on what era of Alton Towers you remember.
Tours.
I think a lot of people do secretly. But it's really worth mentioning. And Doom and Sons was also in there as well. I guess you describe it as a walkthrough experience, taking you into the history of a local area. Live actors, some scare scenes, some jump scares in there, some bits that are supposed to be quite intense, but actually it's quite educational. It's also good fun. There's a lot of jokes and you know, double entendre in there. It's something that they really want you to be entertained by. Merlin actually changed the dungeon's kind of concept a few years ago, rather than, you know, being about the fear and being more about the fun and fear combined. So that's why they're describing the Alton Towers dungeon as Laugh and Scream 2019.
You can tell with a lot of the marketing they're doing around it as well. They're really playing on that sort of fun element
There's a fun side to fear is what they want you to think about. It's like roller coasters as a whole. You know, the Smiler, when that first opened at Alton Towers, it was very much the side of how we merge terrifying rides with a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. And that's exactly what they do with the dungeon. But the Alton Towers dungeon is going to be like a shrunken-down version of the best of the dungeons that Merlin have created.
And they've built it really quickly, actually. So Alton Towers have said that they've put this together in about 6 months.
It's
usually
crazy.
It would take them 18 months.
Mad. Madness.
So they've really, you know, got a bit of the Europa Park.
Definitely, yeah. They've got the German workforce in to come and sort that one out. German engineering, again, at its finest. It's going to be great. It's something different to Alton Towers. I mean, I don't suppose any park can really follow the hype of building a major roller coaster.
That's the thing. How do you follow
after.
Up on
You
that?
Can't. You
and,
can't top
and
it.
And everyone's still going to be going and beelining for Wicker Man, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Wicker Man is certainly a divergence in the path. I mean, I still run to Nemesis. I'm still a bit old school. As everyone's getting on Wicker Man, I'm like, see you later, guys. Off to Nemesis. See you in an hour. Or three if they're in the queue for Wicker Man at the moment. But definitely, I think, you know, it's really hard to follow up when you've built something so spectacular. I think it just needs to be marketed correctly. And ultimately, it's something very different. And, you know, alongside the Stargazing Pods, which is the new accommodation at Alton Towers this year, again, just to prove that they are still investing in the park. And, you know, they're also thinking about the resort side of the park as well, not just the day-to-day experience of the theme park.
It's good to have something up that end of the park as well.
Definitely.
Because that area has started to get a little bit
It's started to become a bit of a lair, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I mean, obviously, you know, we recently lost Ice Age 4D up in Cloud Cuckoo Land. And generally, Cloud Cuckoo Land's lost quite a bit, of course, Twirling Toadstools included on that. I feel like we're coming to the end of the life of that area now.
Something's going to change.
I feel like
it?
The dungeon's kind of going in there as a bit of a, here, this is what we're going to fill the space with for now. And hopefully, you never know, future investments might come to that area for the park in the future, but it's definitely worth watching out for those and see what comes next.
So with the dungeons opening, and of course it being first day of the season, we decided we better go and check it all out. So we're at the opening day of Alton Towers for the 2019 season. We've both been in the dungeon.
We have. I've done it twice. Becca has only done it once.
I've only
so
done
far.
It once. I don't really like big, scary attractions.
But I think we've come out with the same optimism. We went in.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know what to expect in it, but I was really pleasantly surprised. I really like what they've done with the boat ride section.
I agree.
I think they've done a good job of that. I think the actors in it are excellent. Really good. I like that they've linked back to the story of the local area, brought some of those, you know, Stoke-on-Trent stories to life as well.
Definitely, plenty of jokes about the accent and the area as well. I think that's something I noticed on the way through. And you see, I think we've both actually come out. I mean, we went in with low expectations. We didn't know what to expect. It was a re-theme of a family attraction into it. Although it's slightly family-friendly, there's still a bit more of an adult theme to it. And actually, to be honest with you, Alton Towers have delivered on that product. And I think, you know, it is acceptable for families. People with smaller children, very small children, might struggle. But ultimately, even some of the adults are quite
scary,
jumpy.
It's not too scary, is it?
Yeah,
there's a couple of jumps.
It depends what gets you. If you're scared of lightning, if you're scared of, you know, the talking about blood and body parts, it can be quite intense. But actually, generally speaking, very, very impressive walkthrough attraction. And I found out that it lasted about 45 minutes for my run. I don't know if yours was the same.
Yeah, it was about that.
But what a great attraction. £5 if you buy on in advance, £7.50 on the door. Definitely recommend it, 100%.
Just something else to do when you're here. If you've been to the park a lot, it's something new to try this year, isn't
it? I think
it?
It's going to benefit people on a rainy day too, because it's an indoor attraction. I feel like that's something Alton Towers has lacked quite a little bit. You know, it's 45 minutes, you're guaranteed to be indoors out of the rain. And, you know, we do have more rainy days and sunny days in England, so it's nice to see something that anyone can kind of be accommodated for. And hopefully it continues to be busy like it has been today for the opening.
Definitely an improvement on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think, isn't it?
It's definitely an improvement on Charlie. Obviously, originally Doom and Sons, Around the World in 80 Days, Toyland Tours, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and now we made it, the Alton Towers dungeon. Let's see what's next. I'm excited to see.
And then just generally on the park, first day of opening, what's your sort of your impression of it been so far?
Well, unlike last year, there is no snow on the ground.
That is definitely an improvement.
It's a guarantee. I mean, although we might be wearing layers, it is still quite a sunny day. The temperature is about 13 degrees outside, which automatically puts people in a good mood. People are wearing sunglasses walking around the park. There's a positive vibe. The park is busy. The rides are running at full capacity. All trains have been on the rides, which means they're moving a lot quicker.
We commanded that earlier. I don't know if they put the third train on now.
I believe they've got it running now, but okay. I mean, there has been a few technical difficulties. Of course, it's the start of the new season, things are going to have reliability issues, but actually the park is buzzing, and I'm yet to hear any negatives from the day. I think everyone in such good spirits, and Alton Towers have done a very, very good job in having such a great atmosphere such early on in the season.
A couple of things I've noticed. Enterprise not running.
Yeah, Enterprise is closed. I think it's had some paintwork done, so hopefully that's just a short-term thing. I'm not too sure, but looking at it, it looks like there's some new signage and things gone. It's a bit of a refresh for Enterprise, which is a good thing. And of course, the Blade is worth mentioning about as
yes,
well.
Yes, what have they done to that?
The Blade has had a nice, fresh lick of paint, and I think it needed it. I think that certainly secured
its
future.
But do you not think it's a bit too extreme?
It's like garish. It's a little bit like toxic waste to ride now, isn't it, with all the colours? But it's something fresh. It means that they're putting a little bit of investment into those older rides. Hopefully, that means some of the other rides in the park are going to get a bit of a touch-up as well. Things like Jewel, I think, really do need a bit of a refresh. And hopefully that's a sign of more good things to come. But actually, you know, it's quite electric, the park, you know, with the colour scheme, definitely. And Towers Trading, too, with a
that
brand new colour
great,
scheme.
Actually.
It's amazing. It's like a toy factory and a sweet shop. Really, really fresh environment in there. New vinyls, new paintwork and theming. So generally, it's touch-ups, but it's not bad things, you know.
The big one as well, Galactica.
Yeah.
No more VR
on Galactica. It was speculated quite a bit when the park map was released a couple of weeks ago on the Alton Towers Facebook page. People were talking about the fact that on last year's map, people were wearing the goggles. On this year, they're not, which things like it, myself as an enthusiast do tend to notice. We look for those kind of things. But now we have come to Alton Towers. There has been a couple of tweets confirming, but now it's official. The VR has completely been removed from Galactica. It's still called Galactica. It's not gone back to its air transition, and it's had some work done in the queue line. But ultimately, you know, that's it for the VR. I guess it wasn't as popular as people thought, but I think it is probably a good decision moving forward for operations and reliability of a running ride. It took a lot to maintain and also to get set up for each rider that was entering the park. So, you know, I think it's a good change ultimately for the park.
Just finally, the other thing that I didn't know about, I don't know how widespread this is about, Splash Landing seems to be shut at the moment, the hotel.
Yeah, so the hotel has been closed off peak. I think it's just to kind of manage the crowds of trying to fill the main hotels rather than spreading people out. Because in the summertime, come summer at Alton Towers, the hotels actually can't cope with the amount of people that they've got, even when all of them are open, all the rooms are ready to go. But this time of the year, it is a little bit quiet, and I think they're just trying to cut back on paying staff. But ultimately, the water park is still open, the golf's still open, the resort has still got a resort feel, but hopefully they'll get those rides and attractions running as the way they need to be, and also the hotels will soon open, giving a full park atmosphere ready for the summer season. Can't wait though, it's going to be exciting.
Parkcast.
We bumped into Mr. Sean Tanbrook.
Hello.
Theme park worldwide on Facebook. We'll just get that one in there straight off.
That's the one. Not just Facebook, come on, everything else.
All right. Yeah, we don't need any more publicity. Now, we're outside the Congo River Rapids, and we're talking to you because there's absolute controversy again.
It's closed.
Why is it closed?
Well, I don't know. It's testing. I give it a couple of weeks, probably early April. I mean, obviously, they've added all the new sides to it, haven't they? And they've put their doors on.
Yeah.
So probably just doing a bit of last-minute testing, I'd imagine, because they had, one of them running around. But I'm sure it won't be too long till it's open. Maybe next weekend. Is it April next weekend?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And how's your weekend been at Alton Towers so far? Your day, sorry.
Very good operations today. Like, you know, Galactica running three trains, two stations.
What about the VR?
Very pleased with that. I'll be riding that more. Blade's looking really fresh. Three trains on 13.
Good. Two trains on Wicker Man.
Oh, is there? Oh, I've not even seen Wicker Man today, not even been down that way, but we're going down there at the end, I think, to do it. But, yeah, it's been nice to do everything other than Wicker Man, I think. It had a lot of focus last year, so it's been quite nice to do everything else in the park again, really.
And what about the dungeon? Have you been in?
Yeah, I've done the dungeon. 7 out of 10. It's very good.
Seven
out of 10. Maybe more than Alex.
I thought I was being nice. Yeah.
Yeah. 7 out of 10. Very impressed. A few blank spaces. Could do with a little bit more dressing in some of the set design. I think the boat ride is good. I think there's a lot more potential with it, but it's good for what they've done.
It's fixable is what he's implying, I'm guessing.
It's better than Charlie, though.
That's what we said.
I know we've got to pay
Charlie.
For it, but it's better than... I enjoy it more than Charlie. I wasn't a Charlie fan, but I still miss Toyland Tours. But there you go.
Overall,
good day so far. A good solid, 8.36, I would say.
Very, very accurate. Yeah. Very accurate.
And Rapids, I'm sure, will be open soon. Hopefully.
Podcast. Just gotta ride it.
Okay, so this is the final bit of the podcast. It's our, I suppose, encyclopedic knowledge of what coasters you should go out there and ride. If you've only been to a few parks or you're looking to go to some more, what you might be missing out on. It's called Just Gotta Ride It, and it's someone's opinion of their favourite ride. So, Alex, we're going to start with you.
Why not? Am I the first ever contestant on this?
You're the guinea pig.
Great, I can't wait.
If you had to name one... Oof. The ride, if you could only ride one more ride again.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah, this is it.
This is the one.
What if you had to choose, because it's always hard.
I think it is, yeah, because I would actually say an answer that isn't my favourite roller coaster in the world. Again, I'll talk about that later on as we carry on through the podcast episodes. But a ride I would really, really, really recommend you all go and experience, and actually is really accessible to go and visit too, is to go to PortAventura in Barcelona, Spain.
Yes.
Go and get on now the second tallest roller coaster in Europe, but when it opened at the time, the tallest, taking that title straight off the big one there. Of course, I'm talking about Shambhala. Shambhala spelled S-H-A-M-A-B-H-A-L-A. Jeez, I nearly got that wrong. Because imagine the spelling being
wrong. I don't know that you got it right, to be honest.
I think I did.
I'm taking your word for it.
We'll hope for the best.
If you've not seen this ride, by the way, just Google Shambhala.
Get on YouTube. Go and have a look. Go and research it.
Beautiful.
It's insane. And I mean, Spain being a really hot country, generally speaking, Barcelona is beautiful. And this roller coaster stands mountains over everything else all around that town. And you can see for miles. The sun is beaming down on you in that park, and it is such a thrilling, fun roller coaster. And all you've got is an arm-sized lap bar holding you in on a chair. Now, to some people, they're thinking, okay, that's me out. But genuinely, it is a beautiful, beautiful roller coaster. You feel so free, you're not trapped, but you still know you're very, very safe. And you go over hills and hills, as we call them, airtime hills. Again, we'll talk about terminology later on down the line. Oh, Becca, it's such a lovely coaster. I could talk about it all day.
It's quite easy to get to PortAventura as well.
Really,
isn't
really
it?
Easy. You can actually get, I mean, depending on how you wish to travel, me personally, I would book a Ryanair flight.
Yeah.
Stansted Airport, Liverpool Airport, Manchester, or East Midlands Airport, four of the main airports I can name that fly Ryanair that you can fly to Barcelona Reyes, not Barcelona Main Airport, Barcelona Reyes, and you can get return flights for about 20, maybe 25 quid. Whoa. Per person, which is so
that's
cheap.
Cheaper than driving somewhere.
It is, yeah. And you think that's the cost of half a ticket to a UK theme park. You book a cheap hotel in Salou, which is the nearby town to PortAventura. You can actually walk to the park or you can stay in the park. And I'd say that park warrants a 5-day visit just for the park and the bars alone. It's
and
sensational.
It's another park that does some great late night openings.
Yeah, and actually the park used to stay open in the summer till 4 a.m. 4 a.m. It used to open at 9 o'clock in the morning
like
and close at 4 a.m.
in the morning. You're like, I can't take anymore.
I was still going. I'd still be running. They did reduce that down to 2 a.m. It's still very, very late in the morning, to be riding roller coasters after sunset. But it's scorching hot. There's music, there's atmosphere, and the park is so family friendly too. There's lots of family rides. It's good for everyone, but some real good thrill seeker ones, some shows. The hotel bars are beautiful. Go and check them out. And generally, it's just such a feel good place. I could go any day, any time, and I would warrant 5 days worth of visit or even just a long weekend. I know people who go on a Friday, come home on the Monday, and just have the Saturday and Sunday at PortAventura, but I promise you, You will not be disappointed with that park if you go. And of course, get on Shambhala.
Shambhala. Spell that again for us? No, don't.
I'm not ready for that one. Quick, write it down.
Right, that's about it then for the very first episode of Parkcast. We'll be doing more of these features every month, more to come. You can follow us on Instagram, just search at Parkcast. And if you have enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your friends.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Check out Parkcasting, keep in touch with us, and we hope to hear your ride reviews and opinions very, very soon.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.